This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. We're talking to Steve Broglio about head injuries in football. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found a high rate of chronic traumatic encephalopathy in the brains of 111 deceased NFL players. All but one had the degenerative brain disease. Broglio studies brain trauma in football and is director of the Neurotrauma Research Laboratory at the University of Michigan. Thanks for staying with us, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to bring Buddy Curry into this conversation. He's a former Atlanta Falcons linebacker and founder of a group called Kids and Pros. And Buddy joins us. Buddy, do you think that you ever had a brain injury or a concussion while you were playing?
Well, it's different now, a term different in terms of, yes, I did have several concussions of what we know now in term as concussions. When I played, they were called dings. And there were just momentary setbacks where you gathered yourself and then got back in the game. But yes, I had several.
So you basically kind of walked it off when you had a concussion and you were playing in the NFL.
I walked it off. I did the things that nowadays you know not to do because I really opened myself up to second concussion syndrome. I did that several times.
So how does that change, Buddy? What has changed now, especially with the Kids and Pros program and how you deal with injury with the young people you work with?
Well, there's a major concern in America about the game of football. But I think in most sports where you have concussions, you know, in other words, you can play with a hurt finger or leg or arm, but not with a hurt brain, because when you see the outcome of people that have played for at the highest level for a long time, there's a high level of CTE and challenges. So what we've done is taken many things that the NFL is doing. I just applaud the NFL for leading the charge to make the changes in their game that are kind of matriculating and being forced down to the youth level now. So as a master trainer for USA Football's Heads Up program, I travel around and talk to associations and talk to what we call player safety coaches to educate them on the safety protocols to make it better, not only from a what do you do if a concussion happens, but let's prevent them by having less contact, by having contact with the shoulder and not the head. So minimizing head contact as well. And also talk about equipment and making sure that the equipment's properly fitted.
So, Steve, let me play you a comment from JerMichael Finley. He was a tight end for the Packers for six seasons. During that time, he had five concussions. And he's describing what happened to him when he took a hit to the crown of his helmet. This was during his last game in 2013. It was an injury that ended up basically causing him to retire at age 28. He suffered a bruised spinal cord. So here he is in June explaining what happened.
I faced the guy up. I took the slant route. Caught the ball, and when I lowered my head, he jammed my head, and it kind of like jammed my spinal cord. So instantaneously, I like froze up. When you get a spinal cord concussion, your head is just like flops back and forth, and it felt like 100 bees was on me, stinging me.
I'd never heard, Steve, of a spinal cord concussion before. Is there such a thing as an extreme concussion and a mild concussion that's not worth worrying about?
So I'm not a physician. I'm a PhD researcher. But what he described there does not sound like a concussion to me. It sounds maybe perhaps a contused spinal cord or a bruised spinal cord. And the bee stinging is, I think we've all had that sensation. We bang our elbow on the corner of a table or a chair, and we get that stinging sensation in our hand. And that's similar to what I think he's describing. I don't know his case by any stretch. But, we used to classify concussions as kind of grade 1, 2, or 3 or simple and complex. There's a lot of terms that have been thrown around. Now we just say you have a concussion or you don't, although there may be modifiers that go with that. So we know that people with a history of concussion may take a little previous history of concussion, may take a longer time to recover. We know women take a little longer to recover. People with learning disabilities seem to take a little bit longer. Children take a little bit longer. So those are modifiers to the injury, but we don't look at them as 1, 2, or 3 or simple and complex anymore.
So, Buddy, how do you recognize a concussion? Do you think that we all of the people that you work with in Kids and Pros are trained now in how to recognize when someone's sustained a concussion?
Well, I think you need to be a medical professional to recognize a concussion. I think what we need to do is become spotters, and when there's a inkling of concern, then you take that kid out. So when in doubt, you take them out, and you get them evaluated. Hopefully, with the 45% of the high schools that have trainers, that trainer can make the best judgment on keeping that kid out, keeping that person out of the game. But as youth coaches, which are a far majority of the participants, we need to make a best choice or best decision based on what we see and what we know, and then send that kid to a medical professional.
Steve, do you have kids?
I have a daughter, yes.
And would you let her play football?
I would let her play football if she chose to play football. Her personality does not fit the sport of football.
she's not ready to tackle people.
She's not aggressive by any stretch. She's not competitive by any stretch. It's just not who she is. But if we had a male, a boy, then and he wanted to play,
or a more aggressive female,
or a more aggressive female, then I would not be opposed to it. I think I would be most concerned about who the coaching staff is and their ability to coach the game, teach the fundamentals of the game appropriately, and then what does the medical support look like around the game. Those would be the two things that I would most focus on. And for our family friends that have boys that are interested in playing, those are the things that I tell them to look for.
So, Buddy, I don't know if you've heard from parents who are concerned about their kids playing and worried about injury. What do you tell them?
Oh, it's a huge concern. And I echo everything Steve just said. And really, I applaud your perspective on this. You're doing the research, and you're in the kind of middle of that. But yes, parents, and I travel around the country, are very concerned about concussions and really don't have the education or understanding on what a concussion is, what are the signs and symptoms, and what do I need to do as a parent if I suspect a concussion with my child. And so what we do is kind of teach them those three things. Along with that, with equipment and hitting or teaching contact in a way that minimizes head contact, I think we hopefully can reduce the number of concussions and therefore increase the safety of the game of football.
That is former Atlanta Falcons player Buddy Curry. He's the founder of the group Kids and Pros. We also heard from Steve Broglio, director of the Neurotrauma Research Laboratory at the University of Michigan. Steve and Buddy, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having me on.
It was our pleasure.